I just told the commissioner that his wife is excused. Apparently, she's visiting a new grandbaby, so she gets to be excused, right? But I figure we've got the next best thing to his wife introducing him in the form of a video from our Mayor Lori Lightfoot. So if you guys could... Wait, you guys said you're going to start. I don't have to click, right? Okay.
Hello, everyone. And in case you forgot, I'm Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And today, I have the great pleasure of introducing you to Maurice Cox, Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Planning and Development. Commissioner Cox is a man of many hats. He's an architect, an urban planner, professor, father, husband, and at one point, he was a mayor. And of course, an equitable champion of development. Prior to serving our city through DPD, Commissioner Cox held a similar role in the city of Detroit, as well as positions at the National Endowment for the Arts, the University of Virginia, Syracuse University, Harvard University, and as mayor of the city of Charlottesville, Virginia. He served there as a city councilman for 6 years before serving as mayor for 2 years. Commissioner Cox has also worked on all kinds of groundbreaking architectural and urban planning projects. And so we are fortunate that he has chosen to bring his energy, talent, and visionary leadership here to Chicago. During my administration, Commissioner Cox has helped reimagine and transform Chicago's development strategies in a way that spurs economic development and fosters inclusive growth. He has also been integral to the early and continued success of our Invest Southwest signature neighborhood economic development investment strategy and oversaw the drafting of our We Will Chicago citywide plan. This one-of-a-kind plan, the first since 1966, is being heard by the Plan Commission later this month and will serve as a formal roadmap for equity and resiliency in our city. I am personally deeply grateful for Commissioner Cox's leadership and collaboration, and I'm excited for him to share his vision for Chicago with all of you today. So, with no further ado, please give a warm and hearty City Club welcome to Commissioner Maurice Cox.
All right, so good afternoon. And thank you all. Thank you all for coming out. It's nice to be in person, isn't it? You know, in this beautiful, beautiful crowded room, everyone fully vaxxed and triple boosted, I hope, and coming out for your not so new anymore planning commissioner to hear what I have to say about this wonderful city. I think it's better late than never, and I'm thrilled to meet your acquaintances. You know, it feels fresh. You know, I put on a tie for you. You know, it feels a little bit like a formal coming out to the Chicago business community, even though I've been here for 3.5 years. So I'm honored to share this moment with you. As you can see from the title of this talk, we have a lot to talk about. Can I do the honor? So, I just want to start by thanking Mayor Lightfoot for what has been an amazing journey thus far. And as so many of you know, Mayor Lightfoot found me in Detroit, where I was planning director overseeing one of the most inclusive and unlikely city comeback stories in American history. One that has finally begun to reverse the historic exodus out of Detroit, where for the first time in 50 years, Detroit is poised to grow again. So I was humbled that this true reformer appointed me, an architect and an outsider, to Chicago's commissioner, to be the commissioner of planning and development. I had never heard really a mayor speak so clearly about equity and about reversing decades of urban disinvestment the way our mayor has. So for the very first press conference announcing Invest Southwest, I was inspired to make her words visible to Chicagoans, and particularly residents of the South and West Side, and show them in bricks and mortar what equity and resiliency looks like. So I thank Mayor Lightfoot for trusting me with so many of her signature initiatives, a few of which I'll talk about today, namely Invest Southwest, the Come Home Project, the Central Area, and her vision for One Chicago, the We Will Chicago citywide plan. I also want to start by acknowledging all of the people who either recruited me here or have been really a beacon of inspiration since I arrived. Here in one photo, you have the City Hall's trifecta of planning, economic development, and housing. I'm with my partner in city building, Housing Commissioner Marissa Navarra, and force of nature, our Deputy Mayor Samir Mayakar. So this photo captures a truly memorable moment for us, celebrating the groundbreaking of a new $38 million mixed-use project in Auburn Gresham in late August of last year. But it is teamwork that makes the dream work. This is just a part of my dream team that's making our work possible with vision, resolve, innovation. They are here. Could you please stand? I want folks to see you and receive a round of applause for DPD in the house. Excellent. Thank you. So a little bit about my journey to Chicago. For the record, I am not actually from Detroit. Detroit certainly gave me the biggest challenge of my career, but I think it's Chicago that has given me the opportunity of a lifetime. My story starts actually in New York City, followed by years working and living in Florence, Italy, Charlottesville, Virginia, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, Detroit, and finally here in Chicago. I grew up in Brooklyn, where both my parents had immigrated from the Bahamas as children. It's also where they would go on to raise 9 children. I'm the youngest. And my parents sent every one of us to college to pursue the American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Growing up in our section of Brooklyn, we witnessed firsthand what we now know as blockbusting, as black families like ours arrived on our street. White families were advised by realtors to get out while they could. So families sold low, and we bought high, and the white flight began. During the 20 years plus that we owned our home, I watched a socially and economically vibrant community fall into disrepair and disinvestment. I, for the life of me, couldn't figure out why this was happening. Despite a community's love and best efforts, nothing could save the grocery store or the department store or the other businesses that closed and became a blight in the neighborhood. I mean, fortunately, our little block remained intact, but it was like a lifeboat in a sea of despair. I attended a magnet school in Midtown Manhattan, where I took the train every day. My mornings were like going to the Emerald City, but I'd return home every afternoon to see more demolition and disinvestment. It may be hard to imagine, but as a 14-year-old, I committed myself to doing something about it, and I decided to become an architect, thinking that would solve it. I was going to find a way to bridge the divide between neighborhoods like mine and the shining downtown on the horizon. I'm sure the same dream occurs to many black and brown teenagers right here in Chicago who see the disparities between the Loop and the South and West sides. So, upon my arrival in Chicago, I understood that I had a lot to learn, and I need to learn it quickly. Chicago has always been a city of neighborhoods, so I had to get out and immerse myself in the community and meet the residents that I would serve. I also started touring the city. I toured virtually every square mile of the city and within every ward with every alderman. And often I would see North Side and South Side and West Side wards all in the same day, which clearly exposed the inequities that Chicagoans have been trying to deal with for decades. The wealth gaps, the life expectancy gaps, the transportation gaps, the shopping and amenity gaps. There was a fundamental neighborhood gap going on here in Chicago. So those were two North Side streets. You almost never see those streets on the South and West Side. But you also see streets and scenes like this one. This is East Garfield, where there are beautiful homes, tree-lined streets, and well-maintained homes occupied by people of color. This is North Lawndale. What amazing, amazing neighborhoods exist throughout this city. But the commercial corridors are a completely different story. You turn the corner and you find streets that look like this, with boarded up storefronts, low-level retail shops, vacant lots everywhere, and very few jobs, and hardly any place for families and with children and couples to enjoy kind of local culture. I found myself questioning how more than half of the city's geography could lack the seemingly endless amenities that made North Side commercial corridors so special and convenient. I think this map illustrates the disinvestment that informed my first impression, and it shows how many of the same issues that impacted my neighborhood in Brooklyn were at work here in Chicago as well. So the idea is to go to scale. There are scales of opportunity, small, medium, and large. But in order to address that, we have to have a reckoning with the history of how we got here. Right? This is a complex history that begins with redlining, encircling entire geographies. This is on the South Side, with a red line and denying those areas access to loans or home mortgages. And if you were adjacent to a red line, you were also penalized. And so what happened is urban disrepair, urban blight emerged. But it was systemic. You see here an official map that determines what can be saved, what can be improved, and then what must go. And you can see enormous swaths of black where systematically the neighborhoods were dismantled. And these neighborhoods had vibrant commercial corridors that looked like this. But you can read that that notice where the shop owner is selling everything because they've been slated for demolition. But what we were demolishing were the core, the hearts, the downtowns of neighborhoods. This is the center of Inglewood. So churches, theaters, mercantile shops, all blighted, supposedly, not really. And with that same momentum, a focus on bringing the middle class back to downtown. This hyper focus, led by corporate leaders, led by our politicians, to concentrate development in the city's core, to attract back the middle class. And what it led to was a historic divide between rich and poor, neighborhoods, the middle class being pushed out, the concentration of wealth existing in the north and along the lakefront. This is the history of how we got here. But I would say that this map illustrates disinvestment, but that same map and how it was created, we can dismantle it and we can try a different approach. So I like to talk about cities as having a heart and a soul. The downtowns are the heart and they belong to everyone. And the neighborhoods are the soul. And Chicago has 77 of those souls. So if you fast forward to 2019 and the mayor announcing a transformational investment of $750 million of public investment in 10 neighborhoods on the South and West Side, she correctly stated that we can change public policy. We can use public investment to catalyze private investment. And that's why she's been so relentless in talking about these underappreciated and disinvested communities. Invest Southwest was based on a community engagement strategy and the hopes and the dreams of hundreds of thousands of residents who stayed and continue to live, work, and raise families on the South Side. The people who stayed, despite more than 50 years of disinvestment that drove many of the middle class in neighborhoods into poverty, we are doing this for this generation. But how do you begin to restore the soul of a city? As I learned from my time in Charlottesville and New Orleans and Detroit, you can't be everything, everywhere, and all at once. One single family house at a time is too small. One neighborhood at a time is still too small. So for Invest Southwest, we decided to work on 10 community areas simultaneously, each with similar characteristics that make them middle neighborhoods. So middle neighborhoods are neither healthy and thriving, nor are they overtly distressed. They're in the middle. So we invited members of each of the 10 communities into the planning and design process so they could co-author what their neighborhoods were becoming. Community members targeted 12 key commercial corridors and multiple opportunity sites for the first phases of public and private investment, places that had long defined these neighborhoods' front doors, their iconic institutions, where residents convened for shopping, nightlife, and other activities that foster community cohesion and togetherness and a sense of belonging, where we would reestablish the concept of the 15-minute neighborhood, where all your basic needs are just a short walk away from your home. and how we would do that. How do you encourage economic development in neighborhoods that the private market has avoided for half a century? Well, you share compelling visions of what's supported by residents. You highlight the neighborhood's assets and their amazing buying power. And you assemble a menu of public resources that make private investment possible. Through residents' input, we issued 13 requests for proposals in over the following 2 years, each targeting a historic building, a historic block, or a key intersection. These sites included a mix of public and private properties that could serve as anchors for future growth. The developers responded in an overwhelming manner, more than $450 million proposed in total project costs. Today, there's a transformation underway that's reversing the status quo with innovation in neighborhoods and with workforce development. We created a pipeline. The initial $750 million today has become $2.2 billion in public and private commitments. This is how the Lightfoot administration plans to save neighborhoods, by repurposing, by reinventing, by reusing what is already there, including the streets, the sidewalks, and the buildings themselves. And that's very different than we have historically seen in Chicago, where urban renewal and mega projects have become the norm, where entire neighborhoods are planned on vacant land while we have existing roads and streets in transit that we could build from. One of the early goals of Invest Southwest was to infuse equity into all of our criteria for evaluating who should build the community's vision for the South and West Side. Our hope was to provide homegrown talent, especially emerging Black and Brown entrepreneurs, who could enhance their skills and capacity to undertake transformative development projects that rebuild neighborhoods from within. And that's what's moving forward throughout the West and South Side. As I mentioned, over $450 million of investment. And what it looks like, and who is doing the investment. There's a new generation of developers of color that are building this vision. You have the Healthy Hub, this beautiful mercantile building that was saved and repurposed by the Auburn Gresham CDC. You have 43 and Green, the first 10-story mixed-income, mixed-use building next to the L in Bronzeville. You have Thrive Inglewood, another mixed-use development by DL3 in Inglewood. You have the Ave in Humble Park, another mixed-use development by KMW and POA. You have the Auburn Gresham Apartments with Evergreen Imagine, Tori Barrett, and David Block. You have Inglewood Connect with McLaurin Partnerships and Farpoint, the restoration of a historic firehouse. You have United Yards with Celadon Partners and Jose Duarte in back of the yards. And Pioneer Bank with the team Pioneeros again. These are extraordinary catalytic projects that signal that these communities can grow again. And of course, a project we will be breaking ground on in Ogden, on Ogden and Roosevelt, the development with related and 548 development. But it's also the private sector that have responded to the mayor's call with an unprecedented manner, creating jobs, jobs that are embedded in community, like the Terminal in Austin, or in Chatham, the Discover. Hundreds of jobs with people can access and work where they live. In Northwestern, a $100 million investment in Bronzeville. And just yesterday, we broke ground on the Regal Miles Cinema campus in South Shore, another $100 million investment. So it's an extraordinary response. These are places that no one thought to look for opportunity. So they are large, large projects that are catalytic. But we also found that the question we raised was, how could we be more inclusive? How could we assist emerging developers who still find there to be barriers? So we scrutinized our process, the time, the costs, the resources available, and we are moving towards another system of inclusion, the RFQ. So yes, any developer can submit a response, but could emerging developers of color really compete given the time, money, and effort that was involved? We pivoted. The difference is that an RFQ simply asks the developer to submit their qualifications for examples of their work. We would assess the neighborhood impact, resiliency, equity, and then we would lower the barrier of entry by forging a partnership with the Chicago Community Trust that would provide $25,000 stipends to cover the pre-development costs for each team. And all of these changes have helped to remove the remaining barriers and circumstance that stymied emerging Black and Brown developers from participating. We just tested this new model in East Garfield Park and Woodlawn. And I have to say, from the results you see here, the approach appears to be working. Not only are they extraordinary designs, but they are equitable teams, inclusive partnerships, as well as beautiful buildings. And so we continue to use this process, and we use it in Roseland, and we're using it in West Garfield Park. This process is still underway. These are still the six proposals that the community will be evaluating through surveys and meetings, and we hope to announce the winner in March. But then there's the medium scale, right? And the question about where do you go with this corridor strategy? How do you grow the West and South sides in ways that are inclusive without displacement? And I say very incrementally. And let's be kind of realistic here. 10 neighborhoods lost hundreds of thousands of residents since the 1950s. And so as we move from a strategy of demolition to one of preservation and construction, you have to continue to prioritize residents who are already there and those who want to return. So for these families and others, we've created a second act for Invest Southwest that will be unveiled in 2023. It involves a suite of projects that aspire to do strategic infill that fills out the corridors and addresses the vacant lots. These are small and medium-sized projects that are designed to promote corner block development. This is called Ready Build. And Ready Build creates custom plans with mixed-use structures that have retail spaces on the ground floor and residents above. It is meant to address the middle developer who could grow into the larger projects. And you can see how these smaller scale buildings, one retail establishment on a corner with 8 to 16 units above. But there's also the small scale filling in the storefronts of existing commercial streets. This is old-fashioned donuts. Some of you may know. This is an example of the mayor's Chicago Recovery Plan dollars being exported to the far south side. These grants, they range from $30,000 to $250,000, and they can go as high as $5 million. There are more than $120 million in grants going to dozens and dozens of establishments like this throughout the city. So this was a $560,000 grant for a makeover. But then there are examples like the Bronzeville Winery, a $250,000 grant. It opened on the south side, one of the newest dining sensations in Chicago. What's incredible, not only is its design, but this curated space that now employs 40 people, 75% who can walk to their place of work. This is with a $250,000 investment by the city to make this happen. And you do the math and realize how many times over this can happen on the corridors. And it goes on. You could do Go Green on Racine, a corner Fresh Market, or E.G. Wood, a collective of retailers. Beloved Cafe at the North Lawndale Employment Center. All of these are projects that were supported with resources from our Chicago Recovery Plan and 40 Acres. All of these are entrepreneurs who have taken up the call of building the South and West Side. The small. This is when you start to talk about how do you bring the population back? How do you take advantage of the thousands of scattered lots that exist in the neighborhoods? We retooled our entire process and founded Chicago Block Builders. This allows people to go online, see in this case, over 2,000 properties that the city has put up for sale and propose the project that you would like to see and purchase it. So the initial applications closed last week. We put up 2,000 plus lots. We received 1,700 applications for those lots, and more than half of them are proposing new construction homes on those lots. So this is what it means. This is what it means to build the rooftops, to support the commercial corridors, to bring back the vibrancy of these communities. And we launched it at the 3-year anniversary in tandem with our Come Home project. And when we mean come home, we're talking about people who never left, and people who want to welcome those who they've loved back to the community. This is the missing middle building block of Chicago neighborhoods, the two flats, the three flats, and the other walk-up structures that were demolished during other years. And so with the Chicago Architecture Center, we've kicked off Come Home with a national search for new Chicago typologies that will be constructed by developers like the ones you see in this picture, who are buying back the block. And then we will put that together in a pattern book so that those people who buy those lots will have a whole host of designs that can be made. And we will put the financial incentives together to make that happen. So this is what the missing middle looks like. And we think we can go from this cookie cutter infill that we see throughout Chicago to distinct, quality, innovative ways to live in Chicago neighborhoods. So you could take an area that looks like this in Bronzeville and over a course of time, incrementally build back the fabric of those blocks, or an area in East Garfield. And with two flats, three flats, six flats, build back the fabric of those neighborhoods that were torn. And we're being very deliberate doing research about who the market is, who wants to come home, who wants to stay, and making sure they all have a place in the future of the West and South Side. So I think, because I heard there were questions, that I probably should stop here, because I could go on to talk about how you render in public policy these images of equity and resiliency that we are now doing in the We Will City Plan, and the relationship between a healthy heart of the city, our downtown, and the soul of the city, its neighborhoods. But thank you. Thank you for your attention.
He's just so nice. You don't want to stop him. Thank you, Commissioner. I'll give you a chance to get some water. And I do have a question. How many developers, by show of hands, do we have in the room right now? Philip, why isn't your hand up? Oh, okay. I was just checking. I thought, you know, Mr. 43 Green, I wanted to know why your hand wasn't up. That's amazing to see the work that you all are doing, Commissioner, and working in collaboration with all of these folks. You could literally hear a pin drop in here. You all were listening so intently. And believe me, that never happens. There's always a conversation. There's always someone talking. So we're going to get to the questions. I do have one comment. AJ, am I in your book? I just want to know. Am I in the book when you write it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm not going to embarrass AJ nor myself to tell you how we actually met. But I just want to be in your book. That's all. Just a little mention, okay? Congratulations to all the developers who are in the room and to all of the work that you have done, and to AJ as well. I'm going to start off with a little softball from Mr. Tim Thomas. I think you're in. Where are you, Tim? I know he's here because I saw him. Okay. 79th Street Block Club, Auburn Gresham. How much weight is given to community concerns in greenlighting a project? Explain the discontent of the neighbors regarding the Invest Southwest Auburn Gresham project on 79th and the 17th Ward of Chicago.
Sure. Community engagement, right? In the era of COVID, we, I think, did hundreds of community meetings in Zoom, which in many ways works for some, but doesn't work for a lot of people. So if you're not technologically savvy, you may not have even heard of the project that's happening right down the block. And so, you know, we encountered that despite dozens of meetings, we found a lot of people were not ready to see development return to their communities. They had bad experiences, and I think I showed you why they would come to the table with that level of suspicion. But our job was to win their trust and to slow down the process and to think twice about their concerns. And in the case of Auburn Gresham, where a 5-story building was proposed with 55 units and retail on the ground floor, you know, we listened to the community, and that project became 2 buildings of 25 or more units on 2 different blocks. So fundamentally, we had to adjust to their vision. We could only go at the pace and the rhythm that they could. Now, by the way, they didn't know that by going from 1 building to 2, we just doubled the amount of money it would take to do the project. But we found the resources, and Auburn Gresham will have 2 extraordinary additions in their community.
I believe a little birdie told me that we, the City Club of Chicago, will be previewing a lot of these properties. So I'm pretty excited. Does that mean I get to have some wine and cheese somewhere, Dan? Is that what you're telling me? I can go to some of these places and is that what you're telling me? I like it. You guys don't like the idea to not be, I mean, we'll always, you know, we're going to continue to have the lunches, but the fact that we'll be spanning out and going some other places, that's pretty cool to me. I don't, maybe you guys don't think that, but I do. Tavia Kadikas, am I butchering your name?
Okay.
I totally butchered the name, Tanya Kadakia. Good question. How does, and you know, you came in after a lot of good questions, so I really must like this one. How does DPD plan to get more women developers in the mix?
Good question.
That's a good question, right?
Excellent question. And a few of those women developers are in the house. I've seen a few. I think it has to do with lowering the bar of entry and removing the obstacles that remain from people fully participating. And so we have seen, by changing to a request for qualifications, where you simply have to put your qualifications forward, a change in the demographic of who's showing up. And in the work in Roseland that we are evaluating now, there are multiple teams, not only led by women, but all of the members are women. And so I firmly believe that the work we're doing is enabling us to expand the pool. And by shifting our focus to that middle developer and middle density, I think we'll simply create more opportunities for more people to be engaged in the work.
Thank you. Okay, lots of good questions. We're going to go a little bit quicker here because we can only get a few in. Some of these questions you will know that the commissioner answered during his presentation. So thank you for understanding that in advance. What are the future plans? And this comes from Elizabeth Karlovics. Are you here, Elizabeth? I butchered your name too, didn't I? My apologies. From Baxter and Woodman, what are the future plans for sustainability for Chicago? What active sustainability projects does Chicago have, and how will Chicago be improving access and quality of public transportation, walkability, and bikeability for its residents?
Wow, that's a lot. we're tackling on various levels. I think first and foremost is the Connected Communities Ordinance that was passed last year that gives additional value for locating development near transit, for creating pedestrian-oriented places. It also extends for the first time to bus lines, which means that a high-frequency bus line will have the same privileges as a rail line. So entire areas have all of a sudden become ETOD. That's one way. And we are constantly updating our sustainability goals. Many of the projects that you see there are achieving that. We have a passive house apartment building that was shown there. The development at Roosevelt and Koster is going to be a net zero exporter. So for us, sustainability is in the DNA of the work, in reusing, recycling, and repurposing the resources that we have.
That's how you answer a question succinctly. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sure our guests do as well. So I've got a couple of really good ones. I'm going to go quickly. West Loop Community Organization, Julie Darling, are you here? Hi, Julie. Is there a studying being done for the overall expansion of the West Loop, and how can we track the city services to coincide with its growth?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, I didn't really get to the work and the West Loop, and as it expands, quite frankly, as it accelerates. The good news, I think, is that an area like the Fulton Market area is probably one of the most planned neighborhoods in the United States. There are so many plans to address each issue relative to the walkability, relative to transit, relative to the balance between office, retail, and residential. As many may remember, coming out of COVID and the commercial office market took a hit, we adjusted our programmatic vision and allowed residential development to happen north of Lake. So developers were changing their performance, and now we are increasing the residential mix in that neighborhood. But with that comes a need for services, which is what I think your question responds to, and creating new tools for how to do that. And so we're very, very mindful that the quality of public space, how do you create more of it in the context of the kind of quality of life amenities that people expect. It's an ongoing balance that we're trying to set.
Thank you. This is a really good question from Kevin Jeff. Are you in the room? Oh, I thought you told me your name was something else. Are you like, do you have like two names or something? What's going on there? Oh, do you know Kevin, sir?
I think so.
Okay, because I'm like, you're going around with two names. You know. Kevin is from Deeply Rooted Productions Dance Theater and a very nice gentleman. I'm excited about your cultural plans for the city. Since culture and arts play a major role in Chicago's economic and social development, please share your thoughts and hopes and dreams for the city with respect to arts.
Yeah, no, this is a big one. And I, my partner in crime and all things kind of culture and the arts, Commissioner Harkey, we work very, very close together and try to thread the arts through everything we do, whether it's a streetscape or whether it's a construction fence around a property, whether it's creating new public spaces for people to gather and have performance, and then valuing some of those amazing cultural institutions that are there and bringing those to the corridors. So we tracked new projects like Deeply Rooted, and our hope is that it will be one of those new cultural institutions that we can be proud to have on the South Side, for sure.
Now, Laurent, this is a softball, since you thought I wasn't giving him hard questions over there. Charlie Buschberger from Smith Group, are you here? Oh, good. I'm glad you're here. These are two great questions. I'm going to combine them. What's at the top of your wish list, and what are your two biggest challenges that you see in the forecast? And those are the last two.
Okay. The top of my wish list 4 more years to do this work. Okay. And of course, you know, the challenge is, I think we are in the midst of a transformation before our very eyes. And I think those of you who do this work every day know that it's happening, and are excited by it. Our job is, how do we communicate that to everyone in Chicago? How do we get them on board? How do we start to see the North Side as being tied to the West Side and the South Side, that the interests of the South and West Side, that's the interests of the North and the Central. So it's really, really challenging to get to this place where we all feel like this is one Chicago. I think that's our greatest challenge, but I am so psyched to continue to work to make that happen. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're not quite done yet. Thank you all so much. Where are you going, Commissioner? We're not done yet.
Summation.
He was like, I'm done, right? So many good questions. And so, like I said, several of the questions were already asked during the answered during the presentation. So I was not ignoring your question, just did not want to be redundant. Let's see. Laurent, since I was giving you a hard time over there, that table was cutting up. Amanda's going to ask you to pull. Uh-oh. Okay, let's see. Today's recipient of the Alpena Sings restaurant gift card. You guys know who Alpena Sing is, right? I was waiting for the big, ooh, is, drum roll, Julie Darling. That's what happens when you ask good questions, right? Commissioner, although I feel like you should have a couple of these, he and I did talk earlier, and we've been trying to get him since, I think, right when the pandemic started. So what's it? What are we in year? What are we, year three now? I can't. 2, 3, 5, 7. I don't know. This is your 1 year subscription and prescription and membership, and we hope that you use it.
Absolutely.
And you seem like we should have like several of those because you should have been here. This was definitely a dream deferred, as he said. We've been wanting to have the commissioner for quite some time. Thank you all for being here. This is certainly due to a part two, wouldn't you say? We need to hear more from him. I know that he cut his presentation short. We're trying to get this timing thing down. We're working on it really, really hard. So thank you to all the developers in the room. I know that you all want to speak to the commissioner, so we are going to adjourn, but we're going to do one quick pickup here, and then I have a feeling this line's going to get kind of long. So where are you going? He's leaving again. I'm going to start taking this personally in just a second. Thank you so much. We are adjourned, and we'll wait for the time. Thank you, everyone.